Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Believe it or not, it's already Thursday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do this. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, as you know by now, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings. So swing on over there and check that out when you get the chance. But there is content added throughout the week, so make sure you're just kind of over there on a regular basis to see what's going on. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and click that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man.
So I had mentioned to Dan, I have not received a Mr. Fantasy FanDuel lineup yet for today, so we'll see if or how they roll in as the podcast gets moving along here. We'll give him a little time to get himself situated as he has about 38 minutes before the next contest starts. But Dan, I saw something really... It was humorous to me that I got a kick out of this, and I just want to get your comment on it because I'd like to get your take. You know, everybody puts out a mock draft. Now, I didn't do one this year because the last 2 years I have sucked at it. So I just kind of let it go this year. I've got to figure out a better way to come up with doing it. And what I realized today is, you know, I've been watching these things scroll by for months now. You know, I think the first one comes out after week one of the college football season. And as of late, all I've seen was, you know, Cleveland has the number one pick, Dan's favorite football team, the Browns. And all they've been saying, Dan, is they're taking a quarterback. Every mock draft I saw had Cleveland at number one with a quarterback. Well, oddly, today it was leaked by one of the Cleveland websites that the Browns are actually going to take the guy who's valued as the best player in the draft. He's a defensive end out of Texas A&M named Myles Garrett. So obviously all these idiots putting their mock drafts together were wrong. Dan, I think it took these guys about 5 minutes to reissue a new one with Myles Garrett as the number one pick, and they got that quarterback out of the Cleveland slot. Now they're all going to go on TV tonight and talk about how great they were because they got it right, and they knew the Browns were going here all along. Is there a way we can punch these guys in the face, Dan? I mean, I really think they deserve it.
No, well, I mean, you know, like you said, how can you be better on your draft? Well, basically, the only way you can is to put together one every other day, maybe. Let's just say one a week. One week from the day after the Super Bowl, just do one a week, every week. And eventually, you know, one of them will be one.
Yeah, because, you know, the two I saw right away, I was watching a couple of shows I actually still enjoy on the Mickey Mouse Network. And, you know, they have a couple of football experts. And I saw one of their mock drafts go by, and it had Cleveland taking Mitchell Trubisky, who's a quarterback out of North Carolina. He's one of the guys they had mentioned that, you know, they could be looking at possibly. And this was before the announcement was made. Well, then the announcement came out, and this guy's mock draft went by again, and there was Myles Garrett at number one. And I'm like, wait a minute, something's different here. So I was just kind of like, that doesn't seem right. And sure enough, I waited for it to come around again, and I realized, yeah, he had swapped everything out. And I'm like, oh, you're kidding me. Like, you know, now I'm going to have to listen to them talk about what a great job this guy did because he nailed this mock draft and he knew this is where Cleveland was going to go. And like, oh, God, I don't believe this. So I just laughed. All I could do was chuckle, man. So it made me very, very sad that that was the state of the affair that we were in, and I was going to have to hear that now for the rest of time. So we'll have to see how that goes. But all right, on to bigger and better things, Dan. I realized it's actually a relatively good night for you. You know, there's two of them, but I'm going to go with all anyways. Both of these Chicago baseball teams are off. So you will be able to kick back, and as soon as the podcast ends, slap on good old NBC Sports Network and catch game one of the Penguins and the Capitals. Are you excited?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'm going to be nervous.
So, now, you know, last night, I only saw a little bit of this game, Dan, but you know, Nashville did it again. They got a 4-3 win over St. Louis. Your guy, P.K. Subban, had a goal and a couple assists. And then the Oilers, Edmonton, got a 5-3 win over Anaheim. So those guys take, you know, obviously 1-0 leads in the series. It was just game one. Dan, I'm starting to wonder if Nashville's ever going to lose a game. What the heck is going on with this team? Are your in-laws bothering you?
No, well, I mean, there's some here, so there's Chicago fans.
Yeah, but you know how people quickly adopt a local team once they start winning.
No, I mean, there's no Chicago fans, so they still get on the Heat. And because of them being Blackhawk fans, if my brother-in-law were to pull anything from Nashville, I wouldn't even want to comment on it because I would just get notification after notification about people that are calling him a bandwagon jumper, especially his youngest.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess the big question is, you know, if this keeps going, can he get you Stanley Cup play, you know, finals tickets is the question.
Well, I'm sure he can get them. I'm not sure I'll pay for them.
Well, you know, he could get them for you. It could be a gift. So, you know, and I know all, you know, no New York. I didn't forget that the Rangers are starting tonight either. They're in Ottawa to play the Senators. I did not forget that. But obviously, you know, and the Rangers had a really good season. They were another 100-point team too. But you're going to take a huge backseat to the Penguins and the Capitals tonight. I'm sorry. You know, there's just kind of no way around it, is there, Dan? I mean, when you know, at this point in hockey, I know Nashville's a good story, but it's Ovechkin and Crosby we're talking about here, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And you got two of the top NHLers around.
And I did see all time, and this doesn't suit well for you with your pick, Dan, but since Crosby and Ovechkin have started playing each other, the Penguins are 33-21 against the Capitals. That includes regular season and playoffs. So surprisingly, a pretty sizable edge there for the Penguins. Obviously, it means nothing coming into the playoffs because, you know, it's the freaking NHL and anything could happen. But, you know, you got to come up with stats somewhere, right?
Yeah. Everyone.
So, I'm still going to say I'm hugely disappointed that this series is happening right now. It should be the Eastern Conference Finals matchup if both teams could get there. I know the NHL tweaked their format a little bit, but they obviously didn't tweak it the right way. So they're going to have to come up with something because, I mean, you know, we're talking about it's the two best teams in hockey that are meeting in the second round. So I don't know. They got to work that out, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, how did they come to what they think?
Well, now, if I remember right, the Rangers were technically a wild card team. Because even though they had more points than Montreal in the first round, Montreal had the home ice advantage in that series. I don't remember where Ottawa was, but, you know, Washington and Pittsburgh were 1-2. So you would naturally think that they would meet in the conference finals, but I'm guessing because they're in the same division, it shuffled out like this. I don't know. It seems weird that, you know, this is obviously the best matchup they have, and I don't know why it's a second round game.
I have nothing.
Yeah, I'm looking here. This is what I was looking for. I was trying to find the experts' picks here as they go, and it looks like it's split pretty even in your series. Of course, I don't know how many of these people still work for the Mickey Mouse Network. I know the one guy right here was let go yesterday in their big clear out, so I don't know if he'll be making any more picks, but we got looks like six people chose the Capitals to win the series, and five of them went with the Penguins. So they're split pretty even there. The other series worked out. All but one of them took the Rangers to win over in the East. And then eight of them have the Predators, so only three for the Blues. And then it looks like... Is it one more? Yeah, nine of them went with the Ducks. So, you know, the other series are a little bit lopsided, but this series is pretty even. So it will be, be interesting to see how that plays out. Now, are we going to get a seven gamer out of this?
I think so.
I think we deserve it. You know, I don't know if we'll get it, but I definitely think we deserve it. So we'll have to see how that one works out. But, you know, just one of those one of those fun things. Now, you know, we do have a couple NBA games tonight, Dan. Toronto is playing in Milwaukee. The Raptors have a chance to close out that series. And San Antonio is playing in Memphis. The Spurs have a chance to close out that series. I still find it very odd that the NHL has moved on to round two and the NBA is still struggling to get through one round. Am I missing something, Dan? Did the NBA all of a sudden become a lot more physical and more difficult to play than hockey, and that's why they have so many of these off days?
Well, they've got to give everyone a rest because everyone cares.
Yeah, because I believe, you know, the NHL, I believe they played every other day, except depending on how long your series was, you got 1 2-day break in the first round. Now, you know, the Bulls and Celtics just went through a back-to-back situation where they played two games in 6 days. The Bulls happened to lose both of those, but that's another story. More and more I'm baffled by the softness of an NBA player, Dan. I really am.
Well, I mean, there's that, but I think the biggest factor is the contract, the television contract. I mean, because with the NHL, everything is through NBC Universal. So, you know, all your games are going to be on, well, I guess one of them started on the NHL Network last night, but you know, all your games are going to be on NBC, NBC Sports, USA, and even MSNBC. I don't know about CNBC.
But. Yeah, there was a game on there last night, I believe, or two nights ago, something like that. So, but, yeah, I'm sure, you know, television probably does dictate, quite a bit of the end.
Operator. Not television. It's some other shit than TNT.
Well, you know, they're television, aren't they?
Yeah, but they're this crazy, you know, when it comes to the mothership, they've got so much crap that they want to put on that it's really them. You know, I was baffled the other night during Monday Night Baseball. It was supposed to be the Cubs and really the Pirates playing, and I kept going to ESPN, and it was two guys talking. And finally, I had to venture on over to the local network because they were apparently kicked off of Monday Night Baseball. So that everyone else can watch two guys talking.
All right, well, I was chirping around here online, Dan, and I found this out about the NBA, and I apparently, starting on Thursday night, fans can vote on social media for six new award categories. All right, Dan, you can now vote for Dunk of the Year, Best Style, Block of the Year, Assist of the Year, Game Winner of the Year, and Top Performance of the Year. All you got to do, Dan, is you've got to post the hashtag with the name of the award followed by the first and last name of your pick.
It's very simple.
So are you excited that the NBA is going to be handing out awards based on fan picks? I mean, in reality, aren't all the awards handed out by fan picks? Because the other ones are voted on by the media, and they're just fans.
I mean, essentially, I think it's good for the game. It creates more involvement. And not only that, but it comes down to the analytics and how big their reach is going, which is social media.
So, yeah, I just thought that was... you know, I mean, obviously, you know, it's not any real serious category. You know, it's not like the fans are going to be voting for MVP or anything like that. You know, that's probably the best thing out there. It's just, I guess in reality, is this just make them feel more involved?
Yeah, I think so, but, you know, I mean, let's be honest. The reporters get it wrong, so why not let the fans vote for a bigger one?
Yeah, I think they're just let's face it, a reporter has an agenda when they're out there doing that kind of stuff, so. It's really not about who the actual best player is. It's their, whatever kind of agenda they have on mind. So, but yeah, I thought that was kind of thought that was kind of an interesting move by, the NBA there. Do you see? Well, I guess it's a two-part question. A, will you be participating? And B, do you see them getting a big turnout for this?
Yeah, I see them getting a huge turnout. I mean, for me, I have to be able to... You have to give me the selection. I would need that to really go through.
Yeah, to be fair, I'll forget all about this by the time we're done doing the podcast. So I definitely won't be participating unless maybe I remember tomorrow when we're back on here. But yeah, I'm not going to remember the categories or go through and, I couldn't tell you what the best dunk was. I have absolutely no idea.
Not exactly. I mean, best three-point shooter,
you
just put
Steph Curry. Yeah, performance of the year, I would assume I would probably give to Russell Westbrook. You could pick at just about any one of his performances. So, you know, that wouldn't be too difficult. But yeah, the other stuff, I mean, you know, like I'm assuming the assist they're going to give is going to be the one that that Steph Curry just made, where he actually traveled. So, you know, that's my guess, is that's going to be, you know, going to be the big winner there. And it's just going to be kind of like, well, okay, you know, if that's what, you know, if that's what you you need to pick, or however it works out. So,
maybe
they put this together so that they can allow the fans to vote Russell Westbrook Player of the Year while they give the MVP to somebody else. So, yeah, I'm trying, as we're talking here, I'm trying to go through my head and think, okay, what's the best, you know, the best, what's the best dunk of the year? You know, do you, you know, any idea, or well, what's the best anything of the year? And I, you know, like I said, to be honest, I can't think of one over the other. So, you know, I mean, you know, again, I mean, can you call, is, you know, can we vote for Jimmy Butler? Did he have a good dunk? At least we'd know locally here. Yeah, just, you know, again, like I said, just kind of trying to figure out who the heck is who. I'm like, okay, you know, who are these people, and what does this guy do, or what does that guy do? So, I don't know. You know, I'm sure it's a great idea for the probably a little more hardcore NBA fan. I don't really fit into that category, so to speak.
It's literally for everyone. I mean, you see him one dunk, you just could vote for that guy. I wouldn't say it's hardcore. Just like for me, I would need more of a ballot. Email to me, they're part of NBA.com. If I got a ballot in my email, I'd say, hey, you know, go on Twitter and vote for one of these. You know, here's the top 5 dunks, or top 10 dunks, top 10 this, top 10 that. Then I'd be more inclined to, like you said, by the time we move off this topic, which we sounds like it's trying to, and we end up on here, I'll forget about it. Unless, of course, throughout the playoffs, that's one of the things they, you know, promote on TV. Don't forget to, you know, vote for them.
I'm very much like you. I prefer a little more structure to the ballot. You know, if you send me some options, I could look at them at least, you know, and kind of check it out that way. But yeah, have to try to remember or figure out, or, you know, see who's pushing what. You know, like I said, the one I remember is the Steph Curry one. And the only reason I remember that assist is because he traveled during it. You know, but everybody continued to talk about what a great assist it was, and nobody managed to point out the fact that he traveled. So, you know, just one of those goofy things. But I guess we'll see how it goes. Now we had some more afternoon baseball, which I'm guessing it's probably a good thing in Colorado. Did you see Denver is supposed to get about, I thought I saw they can get up to 8 inches of snow.
Wow.
So.
It's a little warm.
But, yeah, it looks like we have five games that were already final from this afternoon. We had the Phillies beating the Marlins 3-2. Jeremy Hellickson, who I have in one of the leagues, got the win over Edison Volquez, who I traded to you in one of the leagues. And Hector Neris got the save in that game. The Mariners beat the Tigers 2-1. Tony Zitch got the win. K-Rod, Francisco Rodriguez, took the loss. And Edwin Diaz picked up the save there. The Braves beat the Mets 7-5. R.A. Dickey got the win. Matt Harvey took the loss. The Cardinals beat the Blue Jays 8-4. I believe that's the game Matt Carpenter hit a walk-off grand slam in. Matt Bowman got the win for the Cardinals. And Ryan, let's call him Tepera, took the loss for the Blue Jays. And then the Nationals beat the Rockies 16-5. Gio Gonzalez got the win there, and Antonio Senzatella took the loss for the Rockies. I know he'd been pitching really well there. Couple games rolling along. The Giants and the Dodgers are actually in the top of the 10th. The Dodgers are winning 2-1. Julio Urias made the start for the Dodgers in that game, and it was Matt Moore for the Giants. Right now in the bottom of the 2nd, the Astros and the Indians are tied 1-1. Mike Fiers made the start for the Astros, and it was Corey Kluber for the Indians. Still to come here, we got the Yankees at the Red Sox. That's the MLB TV game tonight, Dan, on the MLB Network. It's Masahiro Tanaka against Chris Sale. Game 2, the Blue Jays at the Cardinals. They're making up for the rainout from yesterday. Casey Lawrence for the Blue Jays and Adam Wainwright for the Cardinals. The Padres are at the Diamondbacks. It's Jared Weaver for the Padres against Tajan Walker for the Diamondbacks. And then the A's are at the Angels. Kendall Graveman going for the A's, and Ricky Nolasco makes the start for the Angels. So did you get your lineup adjusted? Did you get Volquez's innings? I mean, he pitched a pretty solid game, even though he took a loss.
Yeah, I got his innings, but I got his losses, too.
So, you know, I know I had Hellickson in, so I did okay there. But, you know, Mr. Fantasy and I, we've been sitting on Julio Urias in the Money League. We picked him up a little late. I know we didn't start him this week. I didn't even realize he was coming up to make a start. I thought I saw that it was Alex Wood making the start today. So, well, now do you think Urias is going to stay around, Dan, or – you know, because didn't they send him, what was it? It was instructional league or something to keep pitching. Do you think he's here to stay finally?
No, I think Urias will stay up for a month or two, possibly go back down. I mean, he really hasn't gone past 5 minutes. But then again, that's the way the nature of the game today. So I think he could stay up, but I mean, as long as Rich Hill has a blister on his finger, he's got to stop the rotation, though.
So, yeah, I was a little interested in his start. I know, you know, obviously he's long gone in, you know, any of our leagues or any of, you know, anything it would be, but I still like to kind of check that out and see what's going on with them. So, but yeah, I wanted to see how that's
going.
Here I'm looking for the box score and I can't find the damn thing. I actually want to go in and see how he did today. Cause I have been holding him also that, ESPN league I joined, I have him sitting on my bench right now waiting for him to come up. So he went 5 2/3, 4 hits, a run, it was earned. He walked 4 and struck out 4. So he didn't get a quality start, but at least he only gave up the 1 run, right?
Yeah.
So I did get a quality start out of Matt Moore. He went 7 innings, 2 hits, gave up the run, walked 3, struck out 8. So at least I got that going for me. So we'll have to see. But yes, since it is since we are at the top of the hour, I don't have the bell that goes off like, you know, most radio stations do. I'm assuming we're not going to get a Mr. Fantasy lineup, so I will pull something up here, and Dan and I will discuss some of the options you can use today on FanDuel to see if maybe Dan and I can help you get a winning lineup. You know, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good. So let's see. Dan, we'll start with the pitching, Dan. The top five guys here, Chris Sale's going to cost you $11,300. Tanaka's at 8,700, Wainwright's at 79, and then Kendall Graveman and Tajon Walker are 78. Are you the kind of guy, do you spend that kind of money on Sale, or do you go looking for, you know, some volume? I mean, the Yankees have been playing pretty well. Would you spend that on Sale tonight?
It's rough. I think so. I mean, Tanaka's solid, but
he's still here, right? I don't know, sure, if I spent the money on Lester, I'd try to do up in the right. Yeah, that's one of those things that happen. You know, I do like, if I was kind of building my lineup, I like Tajon Walker against the Padres. They're not a huge hitting team, and Arizona's really been putting up some runs. I also think if you're willing to gamble, Kendall Graveman could be a good gamble tonight against the Angels, because the Angels strike out a lot. The problem is you just never know if Graveman's going to give up too many runs to end up not getting a win. But yeah, I think if you're in the market around $7,800, I think those guys could both be good. I'm an Adam Wainwright fan, but man, Dan, I'm just not sold on him. Even at $7,900, I don't think I can use him tonight. I don't know. Can you jump in? I mean, I know the Blue Jays have really struggled, but are you in that market?
No, I could get it. So it's your pick.
So, all right. Well, wow, this is interesting. I pulled up the catcher position, Dan, and the first seven guys they have listed money-wise are not in the starting lineup. So whether you want to or not, you're going to save money pretty much accidentally on catcher tonight. There's really just no way around it. So here you go, Dan. I'm actually going to give you all the options because there aren't that many. And all these guys are starting. So, Dan, do you like Josh Fagley for $2,500 in the A's lineup? Austin Romine, it's Austin Romine or Sandy Leone for $2,300. Of course, Romine's a Yankee. Leone's catching for the Red Sox tonight. Chris Herman's at $2,200 for the Diamondbacks. Eric Fryer's at $2,200 for the Cardinals. Yadier's getting a night off. Luis Torrens at $2,000 is in the Padres starting lineup. Jared Saltalamacchia for $2,000 in the Blue Jays starting lineup. And Dan, I got to be honest with you, I don't even know who this guy is, but his name is Juan, and I'm going to call him Gotterall, is catching for the Angels tonight at $2,000. Did one of those names jump out at you so I can put him in a lineup here?
I think if they're going
to family, they're going to
double
them
up.
So, but yeah, just kind of one of those weird. I don't know if I've seen a catching night like this before. That's very odd. But like Austin Hedges has been on fire for the Padres. He's out of the lineup. Yadi caught the first game, so he's not catching the second one. Martin caught the first game for the Blue Jays. No Steven Vogt. Gary Sanchez is still hurt. It's just kind of like, wow. And of course, being Thursday, there are a lot of teams off. So, that plays into it too. So, well, let's go over to first base. the top guy here, Goldie for 4,300, Will Myers at 42, Mitch Moreland at 36, Ryan Healy at 34, and then Matt Carpenter at 33. You like a top guy, or you got another first baseman in mind that you're a big fan of?
I mean, I don't know where mine is, but I don't know where he is on the point.
So, wait, who was that you like? You broke up a little there.
I always like Will Myers, but I don't know if they're looking to save money. Okay, I find that.
You know, at this point, we're just kind of, you know, not so much worried about saving money as we are as just kind of helping people out. So yeah, if you like Will, some other options. I don't think, Pujols is starting, but I don't know. In a situation like this, would you gamble on a Chris Carter's in the Yankee lineup tonight? He's $2,300. Are you gambling on a guy like him against Chris Sale, or is that just too much for you?
That one I think is too much. I haven't for the first couple of weeks. He really kind of a disappointment. Definitely not your team.
All right, well, let's go ahead and just, we'll pick up the pay. It'll go a little faster than Mr. Fantasy and I usually do here. At second base, two guys at $3,000 on the top, Colton Long for the Cardinals, Dustin Pedroia back in the lineup for the Red Sox tonight. Dan, I'm a huge Starlin Castro fan. He's at $2,600 with Ryan Shrimp for the Padres, but I just don't know if I could trust anybody against Chris Sale, and that's tough to say to me because it is Starlin Castro. And Adam Rosales rounds off the top five at $2,500. You like Pedroia coming back, or you got another? I mean, it's obviously a limited amount of games. We're only building a lineup out of four games, and if you don't like to use anybody going against your starting pitcher, that really shuts you down. That's a whole team, so you're down basically building a lineup with seven teams. You like Pedroia tonight, or would you go a different route?
Like you said, I don't know, maybe going with Pedroia to this back, but at the same token, I think you have to look at who else is going to
go. You're going to go with Castro tonight? Is he going to be the guy that can handle Chris Sale?
I think the second baseman is going to be your pick tonight.
Yeah, my whole thing, if I'm picking it, I'm leaning towards a guy like Jed Lowry to save a little money at like $2,300. I definitely think he could be a really good option. I know he's off to a pretty good start. So, you could always kind of, plug a guy like that in there to try to save yourself some money. Those things can kind of work out for you. And like I said, I know Lowry's been, for the season, he's been hitting pretty well. Let me pull him up here real quick on FanDuel, see how he's been doing. Obviously he's not a huge power guy. Oh, he did put up 12.2 points last night. He had a couple rough games before that, but he had a 15 or so. Two out of his last four games, he's done real well. He's going against Ricky Nolasco tonight, so it's not too bad. So, all right, well, we'll swing over to third. Jake Lamb is the big guy tonight, Dan, 3,800. Solarte from the Padres at 32. And then Headley and Plouffe at 2,800. The Diamondbacks have really been killing it. Can you go wrong with any of their guys? You like Jake Lamb tonight?
Well, I kind of like Jake Lamb.
I know he's the real kind of pop-out name out of these four. I know Solarte had a real night last night for the Padres. He's hitting the cleanup spot, so I think that gives him a little bit of an advantage there with what they've got going on there. So,
well, that always changes things a little bit, too. I think, I like the fact that they added that into FanDuel. their batting position. You know, I still don't buy the whole saber metric. The best three guys are at the top. But I, you know, I just think sometimes it makes a difference where they are batting.
Yeah, it can, you know, I mean, like, I like, you know, guys in the four hole, obviously he's there. He's going to get some RBI chances. You know, I kind of play along a little with that. I know the big thing this year is trying to get guys at the top of the order. And, you know, I'm not sure that's always the best. And if we move to shortstop here, I'll give you a little better reason why. The top three shortstops, Xander Bogaerts is 34, Chris Owings is 33, and Andrelton Simmons is 3,200. Bogaerts in the six hole. Now, maybe it's not the best. Maybe he's hitting against Tanaka tonight, so it's not terrible. But, you know, he's a very good hitter. I know you've had him in yearly fantasy, and so have I, and he's produced very well for both of us. But, you know, he's in a really good lineup. He's hitting sixth. Andrelton Simmons has been killing it for the Angels. You know, you think of him more as a defensive guy, but he's hitting 300 on the year with three homers. So, you know, while he's in the seven hole, you know, you're looking at a guy who's been averaging just about 10 points a night on FanDuel, and he's had some of those bigger nights where he's broken out and, you know, put up 20 or 30 points in a game. And, you know, again, he's in the six hole. I think I pushed him back to the seven hole. So, you know, I'm not sure if I buy entirely. I mean, like, I think if I'm picking between two guys, I would want the guy who's higher up in the batting order. You know, if that was my ultimate decision, if they were both even, I may take the guy who's going to get that extra at bat. But other than that, I don't know if it should be a biggest factor in picking guys as it is. I mean, how do you feel when you're putting your lineup together?
No, I don't think it's a huge factor, but I mean, it does help in the sense to, like you said, if you've got a couple guys that are pretty equal, if the price is equal and their, you know, their average points are equal, I might go with the guy who's a little higher up, so you get that extra at bat. And of course, so it also, you know, depends on who's pitching.
Yeah. You know, then, all right, well, let's run through the outfielders real quick. No surprise, Mike Trout is the most expensive at 49. Mookie Betts at 43, A.J. Pollock at 41, Andrew Benintendi at 38, and Chris Davis of the A's at 3,600. You know, I really think you can go so many different ways with the outfield. This is always one of the harder positions to pick. You know, if you're not me, you could probably put Mike Trout in your lineup because for whatever reason, when I spend the money on Mike Trout, he just doesn't produce. It's just one of those, you know, I guess you have those players that for whatever reason just don't hit for you. Mike Trout is one of those guys for me. I don't know what it is. Do you have a guy like that you can think of off the top of your head?
No, I've only played a handful of games. I'm running out of money.
Yeah, the way Arizona's been hitting, you could probably go with any of their outfielders tonight, be it Pollock, Tomas, or Peralta, if Peralta's in the lineup. I haven't seen their lineup yet. Let me swing. Yeah, he is. They're all three in the lineup. You know, you could probably plug those three guys in your lineup and have a good night. You know, like I said, with the way they're hitting, there's a lot of quality options in the outfield. You know, let me go down to the bottom here and see who some of the cheaper ones are. You know, like Matt Adams is getting a start for the Cardinals tonight in the outfield. You know, if you want to save some money, maybe Ben Revere is a good pickup for you if he can get on base and steal a couple. Chris Coughlin's in the lineup tonight, Dan, but I don't think he's going to flip into home plate, do you? So. You know, maybe you like the Padres rookies. Manuel Margot is 2,600, while Hunter Renfro is 28. You know, I know Renfro hit a bomb last night. So, you know, maybe you like one of those guys. You want to save some money. You know, like I said, there's a lot of really, really good quality outfielders. It's just, you know, it's being the guy who finds the right one and puts them together. So, hopefully... Yeah. that's you. You know, hopefully it's you or Dan, because it never seems to be me. You know, and it just kind of works out for you. Oh, there you go. I was waiting for that to come out. So we'll see how it goes. But hopefully you win. And if you win, please feel free to let us know whether you listen to us or not. You know, if you listen to our advice or not, I would love to know how you did. So, yeah, please feel free to let us know. You know, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com, you know, drop us an email. You know, just let us know how you kind of put your team together and, you know, how it worked out or any of that stuff. I would love to hear your kind of train of thought behind it. And, you know, if we were help, or maybe you just did the opposite of what we told you and you won. You know, that wouldn't surprise me. Would it surprise you if people just didn't listen to us and won money?
Well, when I don't listen to Mr. Fantasy, that's when I win.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, I mean, like I said, that's the kind of stuff. It's just kind of like, yeah, you know, hey, that's probably how it goes. So I'll do the opposite of what these bozos are saying and see how it works out for me. And, yeah, you know, that's probably, you know, in some cases, that's probably not a bad thing. So, you know, I definitely would not blame you if, you know, you went a different route and ended up cashing money on something, you know, either we told you or didn't tell you, or, you know, you found out on your own. You know, nothing surprises me like that. So, you know, but either way, good luck. I'm just, you know, it's nice to see people win is kind of my thing. So, you know, good luck with it. So, and yeah, you know, Dan, I haven't won squat on those NBA free rolls, man. I just, you know, like, you know, I was telling you I was getting close to where I was averaging about 300 points a night in them. And I thought I was doing pretty well. But, man, in these kind of situations, getting 300 points is nothing compared to some of these other ones.
Is it becoming harder with the playoffs, or easier to pick, you know, with the limited amount of games?
You know, I thought it would make it easier. You know, at least for me, I was kind of like, oh, okay, this will make my life a little easier, and I'll be able to kind of narrow things down. But, yeah, it didn't work that way for me. I really still, you know, I'm kind of scuffling, you know, I'll think I've got a good thing, and I'll be like, oh, okay, you know, I got a really solid lineup going here. This is okay. And, you know, even if I get the 300 points, I mean, I'm still just getting wiped out. So, you know, it's just unbelievable some of the point totals these guys are putting up. You know, and I mean, I see these things and I'm just kind of like, holy crap, this guy scored what? So, you know, it hasn't been good for me. So hopefully, hopefully tonight, you know, I'll have a little luck tonight. I mean, I'm not looking to break the bank or anything. I would just kind of like to, you know, be able to win a buck at this point. So, you know, I would be very happy with that. Give me a dollar. It's just a free roll. I would take a dollar, you know, a dollar bonus there if that's what I could get. So, we'll, you know, we'll see how it goes, but I'll have to see if Mr. Fantasy gets back to me and we can find out what happened to him, as he sadly disappeared on us. I don't know what happened. So, we're talking about basketball a little earlier. We didn't get an opportunity to talk much about the Bulls. Do you give them any chance? I think they play tomorrow night. You know, any chance they get a win, or you think they're done? They're going to drop four straight?
I think their season's pretty much in the bag.
So, and I believe I want to double check this here before I misquote myself. It looks like Rajon Rondo is also being ruled out for tomorrow night's game. So does that kind of just pound that last nail in the coffin there for him?
I think so. I mean, every night you're talking about guys that we've never even heard of. You're like, wait, when did he join the Bulls?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you caught the highlights of this or anything, but you know, part of the game I happened to be watching, during the one of the timeouts, Rondo was actually really trying to help the point guards and, you know, was trying to coach them up and explain to what was going on. And it was a side of him that I don't think too many people think of or see when it comes to Rondo. You know, and it was interesting to see him kind of pointing and explaining and just like, hey, you know, this is what they're doing. And when they do that, you've got to kind of do this. And, you know, he was very, very animated with his hand gestures on how he was trying to, you know, to do that. And I, you know, like I said, I was kind of shocked. I wasn't expecting him to be that guy.
No, I mean, maybe we just don't know Rajon Rondo. You just hear the negative stuff coming from the East and whatever. But, I mean, oddly, from all the negativity, the negative talk about him being signed here to begin with, he's turned out to be the best option that they've had.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a little weird because, like, I don't think I've seen many, like, Rajon Rondo interviews or anything like that, you know, at least recently. And, you know, he's always been kind of deemed a, you know, a troublemaker. You know, he's always, you know, one of those guys. So, you know, you just, you wonder, you know, maybe, you know, maybe it was overblown.
Probably.
So, you know, just kind of, you know, kind of one of those funky, you know, funky things, but it's been, you know, kind of a shock to me that, you know, this is the guy, you know, we've seen. And I mean, just his impact on this team alone, I was just shocked that they couldn't do anything without him. You know, like, he went down and I was like, okay, no big deal. You know, they've played without him before and, you know, all the other kind of, you know, kind of basic stuff we've seen. I'm like, they'll be okay. And I, you know, I mean, just the difference with him and without him is crazy, isn't it? You know, cause I mean, obviously he's not the star. It's still Jimmy Butler's team, right?
Well, it's supposed to be Jimmy's team. But you can see how, despite it being, quote, Jimmy's team, he is definitely not the leader. He's not the anchor of the team.
Well, you know, I'm glad you kind of brought it up that way, because what I'm interested in is, now, do you think it's because there's guys like, you know, Dwayne Wade has won multiple championships. Obviously, he's always been looked at as a leader. You know, Rondo has his championship where, you know, Jimmy doesn't. Do you think that kind of naturally makes him kind of take a step back to these guys?
Well, I mean, definitely it should, but it should have been, you know, when, I mean, let's not, I don't know, it's hard to put on, you know, I don't want to say like, ooh, Dwayne Wade's that much better than Rondo. They definitely got to have the experience over Rondo, over Butler, I mean. But when Wade was signed, you know, the whole point was, this is Jimmy's team. And, you know, the underlining seemed like they were supposed to help build up the leadership behind him. And I don't think that's changed. I don't think, you know, not to compare apples and oranges, but, you know, the biggest thing we always talked about with Jay Cutler being the Bears quarterback was he was not the leader of the team. You know, and that's, I think that makes a huge difference. And if you're going to win with Jimmy, you need Rondo or a guy just like him that's going to take control of this team. Because I don't think Jimmy can take control of the team. I don't know if it's a respect level thing. But, you know, it's kind of like we giggled a little bit a few years back when Anthony Rizzo came out and said, well, we're going to win the Central. And it was kind of like, well, are you just saying that to say it? Because when he said it, it didn't really, it's not that I didn't buy it, but I really didn't buy it. It wasn't like this strong statement, you know, and you really don't get that out of Jimmy. I mean, at the end of the season, he did a great thank you to all the fans and all that. And I think everyone appreciates him in Chicago. And it would suck to see him go, but I think if you can, you know, build a team with a better leader, he's not leading the team. Because when a guy like Rondo is out, because he was out, you know, I mean, only for three games, and look what happened in the playoffs. Not only that, somewhere in the middle, at the beginning of the middle of the season, he was sat out. And those are the times when Jimmy could have really stepped up to take leadership of the team, and he doesn't really seem to take advantage of that.
Yeah, you know, now do you think, you know, maybe it's because Jimmy has limited playoff experience compared to those guys? You know, that is it. I mean, I guess could it be a learning curve for him? You know, is this something where down the road, maybe the next time the Bulls are here, he's better at it?
Yes and no. I mean, the leadership throughout the entire season has nothing to do with the playoffs. You know, he should have been taking hold of the team since day one. You know, since game one, and out of 82 games, I don't really see the leader Jimmy Butler. So if you don't have it in the 82 regular season games, it's definitely not going to come into play during the postseason.
Yeah, you know, I guess it's, you know, obviously, you know, I should probably maybe pay a little more closer attention to what's going on with it, but it just, you know, I think we knew, yeah, I don't know, you know, maybe you and I were the only two who, even after they won the first two games, didn't really expect this team to win the series. And, you know, because I know I heard a lot of talk, not only on the radio, but of course from our good friend Schomburg Stu, that, you know, the team looked like a contender. You know, somebody pulled the reins back here. Did you ever buy once that they were a title contender?
I wouldn't say a title contender, but I definitely thought they had something going in this series. And then, you know, like I said, Rondo goes out, and boom,
This
team just falls apart.
Yeah, and then some. It's just odd thinking about it that Rajon Rondo was the guy holding the team together, wasn't it?
A guy they benched in the middle of the season.
Yeah. Oh, and I forgot to ask you about Fred Hoiberg walking out of the press conference. I'll have to try to remember that for tomorrow. All right, Dan and I are taking off, but come back tomorrow at 5:30 and we'll do this all again. You know the deal while we're gone. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out the stuff going on over there. Link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. Jump on the Twitter feed at SportsTimeRadio. See what's going on there. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well, too, if you need us. As always, a big thanks for listening live, but don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want now at TuneIn.com.
I'm waiting for that.